when I was a young girl, one of my mentors, I've written about him before. His name is Mr. Mitchell. Wherever he is in the realm of time and space right now, I salute him because I know he's alive and well in another world. But I remember him because of his skill. He had a great skill of reading, of divining, and his oracle that he used was tarot card, and it was a particular tarot card because, you know, you have many variations of the tarot card. But what I do know for sure is that if a person knows how to read tarot, they can read. Like, if you really know how to divine, because tarot, and there's a secret towards tarot card, because what happened with tarot is that it depends on how that the card is illustrated. You know, a lot of things, the drawings, the colors, the symbols of the not only the major but the minor cards has to do with the doors, the spiritual door, the invisible doors that are open and what comes through those doors. And I remember Mr. Mitchell used to read me during the time when I was going through horrible times with the wicked baby father, and I didn't know what was in front of me. And I sometimes used to go and sit with him, and everything that that man told me was always the truth. Regardless of what it was, he spoke the truth. He only read with 22 major cards from the tarot card. He didn't use the minor cards, he used the major cards. And I was fascinated, but I also realized that years after that I was in school with him. That every time that I sat with him, I was in school. But one of the things that made me always remember Mr. Mitchell was a sense of comfort that I felt when I was around him. The sense of comfort, whatever he said, whatever he told me, no matter how distraught I was when I sat with, before I got to him, by the time I sat with him and he opened those cards and started to read me, I felt as if there was hope for me. And I felt as if I was seeing into the future, regardless of what came out. And some of the things that came out, you know, when the wicked baby father had his different women and all of those things, he never focused on that. What Mr. Mitchell focused on was that he said to me, he says, all this pain, the card says, the spirit says, the messenger says, that all this pain that you're going through, one day you will realize why. And during those times, I didn't understand that, because all I could see or all I could feel was pain of being cheated on, of being mistreated, of being emotionally and psychologically abused. But I found solace not only with sitting with Mr. Mitchell, but also with these invisible doors that he was opening up. And he was seeing stuff that I didn't even understand what he was seeing. But the words that came from his mouth were calming for me. And so there was a time now, there came the time when I was being initiated into spirituality. And when I say initiated, you know, going through my own initiation, my own being home and being awakened, being jarringly awakened. And then I would be visited at night. But in the middle of the night, around certain times, I'd be visited by this very tall woman, and she was very black, and she had on clothing, but she was always shadowed. And she would come, and she would show me cards, but the cards she showed me were playing cards, the ones that you played with, which another one of my mentors, Mr. Pierre, we was in Hognan, from out of the Vodan religion, he also used to read me with those cards, and they were fascinating. And she would come and she would show me one card at a time, and she would say to me, and while I'm sleeping, I would see this, would be a spiritual interaction. So I was, my body was on the bed, but I actually was outside of my body. And she would come, and she was very stern, and she would say to me, now tell me what. She would say to me, now tell me, what does this card mean? And sometimes I would be stumped, not being able to tell her. And then she would get angry and say, I'll come back in an hour. And some of our encounters I remember, and some of them I don't. But what I do remember is the day when I got up and I decided now to open those cards for myself and to see what she taught me. Not to see the Jack of Spades or not to see the Ace of Spades or the Ace of Clubs, but to see what she saw. And when I opened it, it was as if I had stepped into a rabbit hole and a whole new life was there. It's very hard for me to explain, but this world that we're living in and the existence of the invisible world beyond what we can see are so close. They're like the thin film of the eggshell inside. You know, when you crack the egg, there's a film in the eggshell. That's how close it is. That invisible world that has so many things to reveal to us, so much things to tell us, so many things that we need and ought to know. We can only know most of them, or some of them, or understand them through divination. Because, you know, we do go through dreams and visions, but when we wake up, we're not able to understand some of the metaphors that we see them. But when you sit beside a diviner, in front of a diviner or a reader, and they give you a message, you are looking at them, or I'm looking at them, as interpreters. Interpreters of a language that we just don't or cannot understand while existing in this physical body. Interpreters of things that we need to know for our better understanding of our life here in this world that we're living in. And so divination is needed. People like us, you know, like me, who do these type of things, we're needed. And I think care should be taken for every human being to be able to have a glimpse of what stands in front of him or her. And so in choosing a spiritualist who's competent, and that's an important word, my conclusion, or what I've come up with, is that feeling I felt with Mr. Mitchell, being able to be comforted by the person, being able to have hope. Because really and truly, that's really what they say, hope springs eternal. And hope is something that not a lot of people are gifted in giving. That Barack Obama wrote a book called The Audacity of Hope. And I like the title, because when you have hope, and they say, you know, when there's life, there's hope. When you have health, you have hope. So when you sit before someone to look at and view at your life, to understand what is happening to your life, and they're able to break stuff down to you and let you know what is happening, or what is before you, or why your past happened and how it correlates with your future, it is something that is beautiful, you know. One last thing I want to say is, many years ago, there was a particular woman who called me 3 o'clock in the morning. The night before, she was a client of mine, and the night before, she told me she didn't feel like going to work, even though she worked a stone's throw from her house. She said she didn't feel like going to work. And she said to me, "What do you think?" And I said to her, "If you don't feel like going to work, don't go." And she didn't go. And in the morning, she had a phone call that her son was coming from a party, and a straight bullet hit him in his head. And she got the phone call that the boy was at the hospital, and she was now ready to run to the hospital. But the woman was so trusting of me that before she went through went out the house, she called me. And I woke up groggily, and she said to me, she, you know, rushed, and she said, "Oh, her son was shot, so. And I remember in my sleep, hearing her story and hearing her distress, I said to her, "Go to the hospital. He will not die. He will live. He's okay. He got shot in the head." And that's what she was told. And she was like, "Are you hearing me? You're sleeping. He got shot in the head." I said, "Go to the hospital. Your son will be okay. He will live." And the boy is alive and well. He lost just a little bit of his hearing. Not all. He lost just a little bit of his hearing. But how beautiful It is to be able to reach out to someone who is perhaps gifted, or who you know that is perhaps gifted enough in that moment of distress to soothe your mind. It's a beautiful thing, and we thank God for it. So in choosing a competent spiritualist, again, it's about trust. It's about your head. It's about being led. It's about your aura. Everybody that reads this blog was led there. Everybody that talks to me was led to me. People who I've known in my life who have been mentors and guides, I was led to them. And of course, whoever they knew, they also was led to them. So our head, our what Yorubas call your ori, plays an important part in your decisions, in every decision that you make in life, even if it's a bad choice, because some bad choice presents itself to be good later on. It helps you to take land yourself into the next phase of your life. So I believe that you should trust your head. And this is why in Yoruba tradition, when we wake in the morning or when we pray, we hold our head and we ask our ori for guidance. And that's what you should do. You should always pray, hold your head, cup the sides off of your head, and ask your ori to guide you to the proper place that you ought to be.